read the inspired word of God this morning from Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We'll read the first 20 verses of Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. We read the word of God that far this morning. The text for our sermon is verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, what is the proper way to celebrate Christmas? What's the proper response to the good news of the birth of our Savior? We have in Luke chapter 2 a record of the response of those who first heard the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ. In verse 17, we read that the shepherds, after they had seen the Lord Jesus Christ, they went out and they witnessed of that truth to others in the city of Bethlehem. In verse 18, we read that those who heard the witness of the shepherds wondered at that news. And as we'll come to see a bit later, the Lord willing, that was the wonder of unbelief. There were some whose response to the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ was that of unbelief. Again, in verse 20, we read of the response of the shepherds. They returned to their flocks. They returned to their work, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. And then in our text, verse 19, we read of Mary's response. The response of many others was to speak, but Mary did not have much to say. Mary brooded. She contemplated deeply what had taken place. She kept these things and she pondered them in her heart. For many mothers, when they've had a child, they'll often make up a baby book. And that baby book is a record of all the important facts about their precious little child that the mother does not want to forget. She might record in that baby book the exact day and time when her baby was born, the height and the weight of the little one at birth. She might keep a little piece from the baby's first haircut and the first tooth that falls out. She makes record of the first smile and the first word and the first steps of that child so that none of those things slip her memory. In a sense, Mary keeps a kind of baby book. Not one that's written down on a piece of paper, but in her heart and in her mind. She does not want to forget any of the details about the birth of her son. And her concern is not for some of those earthly records and events in his life, but her concern are the words that are spoken about who her son is and the events that take place in his life, because he is the Messiah and her Savior. She keeps all of these things and ponders them in her heart. And we learn here for ourselves what is the proper response to the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ. Often when we think about the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, it's easy for us to think about presents and parties and time spent with family, all of which are good things and things that we may enjoy. But if that's all that we think about, then our celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ differs very little from the celebration of Christmas in the world. Our response to the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ is the wonder and the awe of faith. It's a witness to others. We can't keep this into ourselves, but we want to speak to everyone else about this good news. It's going back to our work with a song of praise and glory to God on our lips. And it's keeping all of these things and pondering them in our hearts. Let's consider this word of God this morning under the theme, Mary's pondering. First, consider the object, what it is that she's pondering. Secondly, that activity itself. And then thirdly, the explanation for it. Mary's pondering, the object, the activity, and the explanation. Text says that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Interestingly, those words, all these things, literally are translated, all these words. That's important because Mary had heard a number of words about her son. It began when she was living back in Nazareth. She was just a young woman, perhaps only with thoughts about her upcoming marriage to Joseph. And all of a sudden appears to her the angel Gabriel. And the angel says, "You're most blessed among women." And then explains that the reason for that is that you're going to give birth to a son who is Jesus, Jehovah Salvation, and he will sit upon the throne of his father David. And when Mary asks how that will be, since she's not yet married, the angel explains to her that her child is the wonder child who will be conceived by a miracle in her. So that this child is the Son of God. Mary then goes to her elderly cousin Elizabeth and hears important words from Elizabeth, who speaks inspired by the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth says to Mary that she senses the child in her womb, jumping for joy at the appearance of Mary and her child, and says to Mary that Mary is the mother of her Lord. And undoubtedly, over the next 3 months, while they're together, Elizabeth explains to her about what had happened with Zacharias, her husband, in the temple, and how that she is bearing the forerunner of the Christ. Mary heard words from Joseph. When Joseph heard that Mary was expecting a child, he thought immediately that she had committed adultery, and quietly he wanted to put her away. But the angel appears then to Joseph and explains that this child is the Son of God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And all of these things undoubtedly Joseph conveys to Mary. And then Joseph and Mary travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem to register for the taxation. And there they hear words of rejection when they come to the inn to seek a place to stay. They're turned away. And so they seek their refuge in a stable where the animals are kept. There Mary labors and brings forth her firstborn son. And after the rigors of the childbirth, she wraps that son in swaddling bands and she lays him in a manger. And then in the dark of that stable, there appears unexpected visitors. They're shepherd boys who had been watching over their flocks in the night on the hills around Bethlehem. And these shepherd boys have words to speak to Mary. They convey to her that they just seen the angel of the Lord. They saw the glory of the Lord shining brightly in the night. And this angel declares to them, "Fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, the Savior is born." And then these shepherds convey to Mary undoubtedly that one angel then is surrounded by a whole army of the angels of heaven who sing together, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Mary heard a number of words about her son. She heard words explaining who her son is. He's both God and man. He's very man. She knew that. She carried him for 9 months in her womb. She gave birth to him. Undoubtedly, he cried and was hungry, and Mary had to nurse him. He was very man. But the words that were spoken to her conveyed that he's also very, truly God. He's the long-awaited Messiah. He's Emmanuel, God with us. The child that was conceived in her by a miracle. Mary heard who he is, and she also heard what her son came to accomplish. He is the Savior who came to save his people from their sins. He is the seed of David, the king who came to establish his kingdom, heavenly and spiritual, and to bless the citizens of his kingdom. Mary heard much about who her son is and what her son came to accomplish. These are the things she kept and pondered in her heart. How does this apply to us today? It applies to us, especially when we consider, again, that the text speaks of the words that Mary heard. It was the words that she kept and pondered in her heart. And those words that she heard are the same words that are revealed and spoken to us. God is pleased to reveal Himself to us in human language and in human words that we can understand. The transcendent sovereign God has condescended and stooped to us, earthly creatures, to reveal Himself in words and in a language which we can understand. He's given to us the Scriptures. By the work of the Spirit, He's inspired men to write down the words so that what they wrote was God's word, word for word. So that we have in the Scriptures God Himself speaking to us. And God speaks to us today as well through the preaching of the gospel. We hear the voice of God. And not in some strange and mystical sense, but we hear that through the faithful preaching of the Word of God. What we hear is the same as what Mary heard. We hear the words of Gabriel to her. We hear the song of Elizabeth. We hear the word of the angel to Joseph. We hear the angels and what they said to the shepherds in the hills of Bethlehem. We hear the good news of the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. We hear the Word of God explain to us who this child is. He's both God and man, fully man, who took upon Himself our flesh and came into this world, and at the same time, fully God, the God of our salvation. We hear the Word of God which explains to us why He came into this world, to save His people from their sins, to establish His heavenly and spiritual kingdom. We hear from the Word of God why He came, the reason for that, which is the eternal love of God for His chosen people in Jesus Christ. Why is it that the Son of God has come in human flesh? Because of the eternal love of God for His own, to save them from their sins. But not only do we hear what Mary heard, we hear even more than what Mary heard at this time. She heard words about the birth of her Son. Standing in the light of the coming of Christ and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we hear and know more than Mary did. We know not only that He came into this world in lowly birth, but that the lowly circumstances of His birth, His poverty and rejection, pointed ahead to the end of His life on earth. The purpose of His birth was His death. The giving of Himself as the sacrifice for sin to redeem His people fully and to make complete atonement for their sins. We hear the good news of His death. We hear the good news of His resurrection, His victory over sin and death and the grave, and His rising again the third day. We hear the good news of His ascension into heaven, His rule over all things at the right hand of the Father, and His coming again. This coming not in poverty, but His second coming in glory and in power. We hear many words about the Lord Jesus Christ and about His saving work on our behalf. And these things we keep and ponder in our hearts. Mary kept all these words and pondered them in her heart. There are two words and two ideas that are conveyed there about Mary's response. First of all, it says that she kept these things, she kept these words. And that word keep means to hold dear, to guard, and to preserve. And that word can also at times carry the idea of valuing something as a treasure. She viewed these words as a treasure, and she guarded them and preserved them very carefully. Mary stored up every word that was spoken about her son and all of the events that took place. She regarded them as precious treasures, precious mementos. She guarded them very carefully so that not a one of them would slip out of her mind. She wanted to remember every single one of them. And this is something that was true of her, not just at the moment of his birth, but the sense of the language here is that this is something that continued ongoing. And we read of that later in Luke 2, in verse 51. This is when Jesus now is 12 years old and he's been at the temple. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. She kept all of the words regarding his birth and all of the sayings regarding him throughout his life on the earth. She treasured them and guarded them carefully in her heart. And then secondly, the passage says she pondered them. She kept these words and she pondered them in her heart. To ponder something, that word in the original means to take two things and put them side by side to compare them. Mary was collecting all of these things that were said about her son and that happened in his life. She's storing them up in her mind, and then she's comparing them all together. Comparing what's said about him with the Old Testament scriptures, which she learned as a little girl. And she heard this about him, and this took place in his life, and all of these things she's comparing one to another. She's meditating upon them. She's brooding over them. She's contemplating them. She's going over them again and again and again in her mind. And not simply to remember them, but to understand them. She believes and wants to grow in her understanding so that she guards these sayings and she ponders them, she dwells on them, thinks about them constantly. This is the response of faith to the good news of the coming of Jesus Christ and of all of his saving work. The response of faith is like Mary to keep these words in our hearts, to store them up in our minds, to guard them, protecting them, valuing them as a precious treasure to us. We do that when we sit regularly under the preaching of the Word of God. We do that in our own personal lives, in our homes, in families, when we open the Word of God to read that Word. We do that when we seek to memorize the Word of God. And that's something not just for the children in school, that's something for all of us to hide the Word of God in our hearts. That's to keep the Word of God, to treasure it, to guard it in our hearts. One of the temptations of the devil is to keep us away from the Word of God, so that we feel as if we're so busy with so many other things that we don't have time for the Word of God. We keep these words and ponder them in our hearts, comparing the Word of God with the Word of God, brooding over the Word of God, meditating upon the Word of God, contemplating deeply the truths of the gospel. How often do you do that? How often do we sit, even for 5 minutes, to ponder the wonder of the birth of Jesus Christ, to ponder the wonder of the cross of Jesus Christ and our salvation in Him? How often do we sit and meditate and ponder the glory of the gospel? We're honest, each one of us readily will admit we don't do that very often. We're easily contented with shallowness, briefly to read the Word of God and then quickly to move on to something else and hardly give it another thought. We're easily distracted by so many other things that are going on in our life. There's the ping and the ding of technology that quickly draws our mind away to something else. There are the responsibilities of life and the busyness and all that we have going on that draws our heart and our mind away from the Word of God. Use an illustration. The Word of God is like a fire in the cold of winter. Very easy for us to come to the fire very briefly and then to leave very quickly, and we're not warmed because we've not stopped to ponder the Word of God. Use a different illustration. It's like taking a tea bag and dipping it very briefly into a cup of hot water. You put that tea bag in for just a moment and take it quickly out, and the water might change color just a little bit and have a little tinge of brown or red, but it still is not very steeped well in the tea. You have to leave it there for a while. Let it steep in the hot water for a time. The same is true for us with respect to the Word of God. It's so easy for us to be dipped in for just a moment and then to walk away. We have to steep in the Word of God, to ponder that Word deeply. When we fall into sin, to ponder the glory of God and our salvation in the cross of Jesus Christ, which is our forgiveness. When we're struggling with various things in the Christian life, to ponder the Word of God. The power of the cross of Jesus Christ, which is the power of the Christian life. When we're struggling with some trial or hardship that God sends upon us, to ponder, to sit down in the Word of God and to think deeply about the truths of the Word of God. When we're fearful, when we're anxious, to ponder the Word of God. precious promise is, the truth of who God is, and His love and care for us, how that's demonstrated in the birth and the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not your response. Is the response of faith. What explains this response is the gift of God to us of faith. And that comes out in the text in the contrast that's drawn between Mary and the others in Bethlehem. The text begins with the word "but." And that's drawing a contrast to what's said in verse 18. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. The shepherds had come to see Joseph and Mary and the babe. And then they'd gone out to the houses of Bethlehem to announce this good news. They were so excited. They couldn't keep it in and couldn't keep it to themselves. They wanted everyone to know about it. And the response of the people of Bethlehem was wonder. Now there is a right wonder and awe of faith, but that's not what this was. This was a wonderment of unbelief. They heard this news. They perhaps thought, that's interesting, that's different. They thought no more about it. Not a one sought out the stable, the manger, and the babe. It was like the wonderment that we might have driving down the highway. Up ahead we see the lights of the police cars and the ambulances, and we see the cars that were in a wreck. And we drive by slowly and it catches our attention and there's some wonder about what's happened. And a mile down the road, we've forgotten entirely about it. They wondered. There was some amazement. And then they never gave it another thought. Their response was the response of unbelief. And such is the response of many. It's the response of the unbelieving world to the birth of Jesus Christ. They may celebrate today. They might have hearts that they would say are filled with joy, and they love maybe to hear the singing of the Christmas carols and the pageantry of Christmas, and maybe they'll go to church even on Christmas. And there's kind of wonder and amazement, but the wonder and the amazement of unbelief. They don't believe in Jesus Christ, the babe of Bethlehem. But God in His grace has bestowed upon us the gift of faith. And by faith we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior. That's what explains Mary's response, why she kept all these words and she pondered them in her heart and why that was so important to her. This was not merely the natural love of a mother who's so interested in her child. This is a daughter of God who knows that her son is her Savior, the Messiah who's come, whom she needs to save her from her sins. By the faith that God gave to her, she believed in Him, knew Him alone to be the Savior, and therefore treasured the words about Him and pondered them over and over in her heart, because she was filled with such joy and hope in her salvation in Him. Such is the gift of faith that God has graciously bestowed upon us. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that He's truly man and truly God. We know and are confident that He is our Savior. That He came into this world to save this sinner, undeserving, from his sins. By faith we know and are confident that the explanation for His coming into this world is the eternal love of God for this sinner and all of His people. Faith trusts in Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation. Faith looks nowhere else, to no one else, and certainly not to self and anything in self. Faith trusts in and looks to Jesus Christ and Him alone as our Savior. Knowing and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we keep the word of the gospel in our heart. We treasure it. And we ponder those things in our heart. In thankfulness, in joy, and in hope. For what our Savior has come into this world and what He's done for us. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the gift of faith. And we pray that Thou wilt strengthen us in our faith, cause our faith to grow. Grant, Father, that our response to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as all of His saving work, is the response of faith, of trust and confidence in Him alone. We pray, Father, for an increased love and appreciation for the good news of the gospel of our salvation in Him. Fill our minds and our hearts with that truth. Cause that truth to be our comfort, our strength, our guidance, all of our life here on this earth. Keep us in safety according to Thy will in all the activities of this day. Pray, Father, that Thou wilt bring us again to Thy house tomorrow on the Sabbath day, where again we can hear the good news of our salvation in Christ. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.
We pray that you were edified by the preaching of the gospel today. Please join us for worship if you are ever in the area. For more information about our church, beliefs, or worship times, please visit our website at prccrete.org.